Okay. Good morning, everyone.
Yeah.
All right. We are starting today. Today is Daf is, I think, Kuf Lamed Dalet. Okay, we'll say. Okay. Yeah, exactly. We started yesterday one of the bigger sugyas in the 10th perek of Chulin. We started the 10th perek of Chulin over the weekend. Shabbos, I believe we started it. The first sugya that we did, and for the most part we finished, although we're going to arrive at a conclusion today, is if you're mazik matanos or if you eat matanos. Matanos are, from every animal that shechted, you must give a portion of that animal to the kohen, zoro lechai the keva, zoro the right leg, the lechai the cheeks of the animal, and the keva. By the way, the cheeks include the tongue. We'll talk more about that today. Yes, tongue. Tongue. The Gemara is going to talk about tongue with mustard today. Hit it right on the head. And the cave on the fourth stomach of the animal. These things need to be given to a kohen from every animal. The fact that we don't, all right, as I mentioned, that's one of the stranger things that we experience nowadays, but we don't. And but nevertheless, though, from the Gemara standpoint, we do. From the Torah standpoint, we do. And so we discussed it in this context. The first sugya, the first big sugya of the perek, dealt with what if you eat it? What if, in other words, you meaning the owner, and you did not give it to a kohen? So do you have to make reimbursement? Do you have to make restitution? So that is discussed by Rav Chista. Not discussed, but ruled by Rav Chista, you don't. You don't have to make reimbursement. Rav Chista says either it's based on a pasuk. The Torah says the word zeh. Zeh yeh mishpat ha-kohanim. This is mishpat kohanim. So this falls under the category of more nedava than neder. The Gemara doesn't use that terminology. That's my terminology. But the point is that there's no achrayus. There's no personal liability. You give it to the kohen, but if you don't, you don't have to make up. There's no restitution. Or the Gemara gives another reason for Rav Chista, and that is mamon shein lo tovim. There is no particular claimant on this, on the money. It's money that you owe, but just a technicality. Nobody can come after you. Nobody. There's no one particular Kohen who could say, hey, that's mine. Simply because, remember, this is matanos. These are gifts to the Kohanim. You have the ability to decide and allocate who is going to go to. So no one particular Kohen say, I deserve that. So it's Mamon Shein Lo Tovim. We pointed out the basic difference between the two explanations of Rav Chista. According to the first explanation, it seems like you have mamish no, even if you want to do tshuva, you literally have no need to pay anybody to reimburse anybody. According to the second explanation, you really should have given the matanos, and really, in theory, you should reimburse. It just happens to be a technical reason. And if you want to do tshuva to be what the Gemara refers to sometimes as latzes yidei shamayim, right? In other words, after 120 years, you want to meet your maker and you want to be free of this issue. So then you should reimburse somebody. Okay, that was the first discussion that we had yesterday. The second discussion that we had yesterday was that of Rav. Rav says, how about a levy? How about a levy? Can you give it to a levy, or does a levy have to give the matanos? So Rav gave kind of a fuzzy answer, right? So the Gemara started the discussion yesterday, right? This was on the middle of Kuf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. I'm just reviewing. So how levi davichat of matanasa? It was a levy who took the matanos. Also, Amr le Rav, Amr lehu la misayid lo shaklinim ine ela mechtav nami chatif. So Rav said that's chutzpah. But that's all Rav said, meaning he didn't do anything else. Rav yikre amishkol nami lishkol minayu. He lo yikre rachmana patrina. The Gemara says I don't understand. From Rav's perspective, look, either he is or he's not. Meaning either he's entitled or he's not entitled. So we don't take it from them. So that means we should give it to them. So the Gemara's answer was, Rav was unclear. Rav was had a suffix, whether or not Levi was part of Am in the context of Matanos, or Levi was not part of Am, and we'll discuss more about that in the beginning of this morning's shiur. Okay, so those are the two big topics that come up in the beginning of the 10th Perek, the topic of eating or damaging matanos, and the topic of a levy. Tashma. Pick it up right where we left off yesterday. We're in the middle of Kuf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, and the Gemara is going to try to come to some sort of conclusion on this halacha of Rav. Zeha klal, kol davar shu bikdusha, kigon, chumash mas mais v'chalam, otzina sami adam, So something with sanctity, like truma smaiser, like challah, right, where they all have kedusha. So you take it away from them, them meaning Levi. Anything that does not have kedusha, kigon, example, zorah l'chayve kevan, motzina some yadam, you don't take it away from them. It is extremely clear from this brisa. I'm sorry, kigon, right, I'm sorry, let me go back. It's very clear from this brisa, zorah l'chayve kevan, you don't take it away from the Levi. In other words, they got it, they get to keep it. So this now would seem to rest the issue of, do I give Zorah L'chaim Keva to a Levi? So the Gemara's response is, kigon. That's the key word. The key word is kigon. Kigon Zorah L'chaim velo Zorah. Meaning, we're just giving an example, but it happens not even to be, this is a good example. Umayni umaysarishon. But really what we're talking about is maysarishon. What do you mean? Don't take it away from the Levi. Aren't you supposed to give it to the Levi? So the Gemara says, Labasa de Kanskinu Ezra. We go back to what we talked about at the end of yesterday's daf. When they went to Eretz Yisrael, the Levim, for the most part, did not go. And Ezra was angry, Ezra was upset, and he levied a knas against the Levim. And part of that knas against the Levim is, you're no longer entitled to Maaser Rishon. But rather, Maaser Rishon is going to go to the Kohanim. And the point of this particular brisa is that even after the knas of Ezra, if a Levi happened to have taken Maaser Rishon, you don't have to take it away from him. The Knas does not go that far in that if they received it, you take it away from them. But the Knas is you don't initially give it to them, but not beyond that. Tashma, the Gemara says, how about this? Ashochet lekoin ula ove kochavim. Next Mishnah coming up later this morning. The Mishnah says, let's say you shecht an animal for a Kohen and a non-Jew. Neither of them have a requirement of giving matanas to a Kohen. A Kohen himself is a Kohen, and a non-Jew is just not a barhachi. He doesn't have the mitzvah. Patim and a matanos. So from the Mishnah says, there you have an exemption. Now the Mishnah couldn't be any clearer. The Mishnah says, either a Kohen or a non-Jew. Where's the Mishnah's mention of Levi? There is no mention of Levi. So the Gemara immediately jumps on that. Hala Levi l'Yisrael chayev. So the Gemara says, Lo teima hala Levi l'Yisrael chayev, ala ema ha Yisrael chayev. So the Gemara starts to suggest, well, maybe the diuk is Yisrael. The Gemara says, "Aval Levi, my pater yachel is now shochel Levi, ulav ekochavim pater melematanos." I don't know. The Gemara says, "I don't know." That's very difficult. Meaning, if there really is a legitimate patur, in other words, if you shecht an animal for a Levi, you're exempt from matanos. The Mishnah should have said Levi. Levi is a bigger chiddush. Meaning, the Torah says to give it to a Kohen, and if Levi in this particular halacha is included in the Kohen status. So the Mishnah would have been better off saying Levi. That's a bigger chiddush. Va'od. Furthermore, I have a brisa that says straight out that if you shecht an animal for a Levi, there's a requirement to take off matanos. Period. Couldn't be any clearer. Tiyufta derav. The Gemara says now gotcha. Meaning this brisa really is a challenge to Rav. What else are you going to say? The Braisa clearly says that a Levi is obligated to give matanos. Amalecha Rav Tanayi. So Rav says it's a machlokas Tanayim. Now, Rav could have also said, he argues with the Braisa, but the Gemara has proof that this is subject to a debate. The Tanya will learn on the following Braisa. Now, we're going to go to a funny place. Meaning, essentially, what our question on the table is, what category is a Levi? In the halachas of matanos, of gifts, what category is a Levi? Is he with us, meaning the non-Kohanim, or is he with the Kohanim? And the Gemara now is going to, based on a number of drashas, point out that this could be a machlokas Tanayim. The Torah says, V'chiper es mikdash ha-kodesh. Now, we're gonna pick apart this pasuk. This pasuk is in Parshas Achrimos, and this talks about the kapara that's affected by the seir and the par of Yom Kippur. So, v'chiper is mikdash hakodesh. It will provide a kapara for mikdash hakodesh, the very holy place. What's that? Lifnai v'lifnim. That's the inner sanctuary. That's kodesh hakodashim. Oal moed zehechal. Oal moed is a reference to the hechal. That's the actual building. Mizbech kamash ma'o. And mizbech, of course, is a reference to the mizbech. Yichaper elo azaros. The azaros. Presumably, it's both the Ezras, the Azara in the base of mikdash, and the Ezra's Nashim, right? That could be its own discussion. Kohanim kemashma'o, And then watch carefully. Am HaKahal. And then the nation. Elu Yisrael. This is a reference to Yisrael. So you see that the word Am, that's the key word over here in this discussion, is a reference to Yisrael. Yechaper Elu Levim. And Yechaper is a reference to the Levim. Good. So what do you have over here? In this first version, in this first Brisa, Am is Yisrael, and Levi is not part of that group. Levi is including the word Yechaper. Tanya Yidach, however, I'll show you another Brisa. Now, the Gemara doesn't quote the entire Brisa. The Gemara just quotes the end of that second Brisa, which is Yechaper, Elu Avadim. The word Yechaper is a reference to the Avadim, meaning Eved, Eved Kanani. I assume we're talking about Eved Kanani. He also needs a Kapara, and we base it on the Pasuk of Yechaper. Now, according to the second Brisa, where do the Levim fit? What category are the Levim under? Presumably, they get backed up to the Am HaKahal. So you see that there's a machlokus tanayim, whether or not Am includes Levi or Am does not include Levi. So my la b'hakam iflugi, the marsavah yikrei Am, marsavah lo yikrei Am. Okay, period. Now, all is well and good. I don't know about that, but at least we have some clarity. It is a machlokus tanayim where to put the Levim. Are they with us in the category of Am, which means that they got to both give matanos and they are not recipients of matanos? Or are they with the Kohanim, which means that they don't have to give matanos, and they could be the recipients of matanos. Good. Right, but in other words, correct. But we know that they're not entitled to certain matanos. I mean, in other words, we know you don't give them truma. You don't give them challah. That only goes to the Kohanim. Matanos are a lower level of gifts, and so that's why the Gemara now is entertaining the possibility that they can get matanos. The Zro L'chai V'keva. Okay, now here's what bothers the Gemara. So I'm holding on to the idea that there's a machlokus. Rav is right in the middle, meaning Rav did not take a side. Rav Yisrael Le'kahai Tana Lema Yisrael Le'kahai Tana Lema. So why doesn't Rav take a side? So the Gemara says because Rav is in the middle. Misafke Le'kahai Tana Kahai Tana. Okay, so the Gemara says because that's exactly his suffix. Meaning, he doesn't know which Tana is correct. So, if you ask Rav the question, does he have to give them a Tanos? The answer is going to be no. Why? Because we have the rule. Motzi mechaveir ala varaya. Because a Kohen goes over to him, and the Kohen says to him, to the Levi who just shechted an animal, you know, you need to give me a Tanos. So this Levi will say, I'm not sure. Because remember, it's a machlokas tanayim, where I fit, meaning, do I belong with Am and Yisrael, or do I belong with you? And I subscribe to Rav's viewpoint, which is, I don't know. But if I don't know, that means you also don't know. Hamotzi mechaveiro la varaya. Can he be the recipient of the matanos? Rav's going to say there no. Because you want to be sure that you fulfilled your mitzvah. Your mitzvah is to give it to the Kohanim. So you got to give it to the Kohen. He may be part of the group of the Kohanim. We're not sure. So he shouldn't be the recipient. That's Rav's conclusion.
Question for you. Why do you put the Amamanot in terms of how much you have al Avaria? This is a positive command from the Torah.
Yes. Yes.
If there's any doubt, you read on the Chumrah, you actually.
And so that's an excellent question. So even in a mitzvah, if the mitzvah is a monetary mitzvah, we give it all the rules of monetary law. Okay, this is, in other words, I think your question would be stronger if the matanos were asur to a non-Kohen. But it's not. Meaning, you give it to a Kohen, but as we're going to learn later this morning, anyone can eat it. There's no limitations of who can eat it, where they can eat it. Okay? It almost sounds like you can eat instead of tuma. I'm not sure if that's 100% accurate, but in other words, it's an entitlement. It's an entitlement, but it doesn't have kedusha. Right.
Correct.
But this is matanos. And it's the same thing like truma. I mean, we'll go back to that truma discussion. You don't give Levi truma. He's not entitled to truma. So that's why the discussion over here is similar. Okay, on some rulings. Darush Mareimar. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Mareimar, Yochasa Kavasi de Rav, halachas like Rav. Meaning, We don't know. We don't know. It's a funny psak halacha. But we don't know. We don't know if the Kohanim, if the Levim are entitled to the matanos, don't give it to them. On the same time, however, a Levi shechs an animal, he does not need to part with his matanos. V'hilchusa kavasa de Rav Chista, and going back to the beginning of yesterday's daf, the halacha follows like Rav Chista, meaning that if I damage or eat the matanos, I do not need to make restitution to the Kohen, I am Pater. Again, one of two explanations. We already went over that this morning. Ula v'yasev matanasa l'kahanta. Next topic of discussion. Okay, how about this? How about giving matanos not to a male Kohen, but to a female Kohen? Okay? What status is that okay? Is that acceptable? Now, before we go any further in the Gemara, let's quote Rashi over here, because Rashi over here says it even a bigger chiddush. Rashi writes, Lekohenis, a female Kohen, Bas Kohen, meaning female Kohen. What does that mean? Meaning she's the daughter of a Kohen. Afilu Ashes Ish. And Rashi says, and even if she's married to Yisrael. Now, everyone knows what happens when a Bas Kohen marries a Yisrael. That's it. She's done. Meaning, first of all, her children are going to be Yisraelim. But moreover, in her married state, she can't eat Truma. She can't eat Challah. Right? She's not, you know, she no longer has the rights to eat those things. So Rashi's telling us that the chiddush here of matanos is that you can give it to a Bas Kohen even while she's married to a Yisroa. I continue reading in Rashi. Because matanos don't have kedusha. And because they don't have kedusha, they're not prohibited to a zar. And therefore, you can give it to her. It sounds like, I'm sorry, let me just read on in Rashi. And it's not similar to Truma. V'imishum v'nasan la kohen. Now, what about the requirement in the Torah v'nasan la kohen? The Torah says very clearly, and you give it to a kohen. So the Gemara says, but that's easy. Kasavra afila kohanis mashma. When the Torah says give it to the kohen, it means give it to someone from the tribe of kohen. But she qualifies, meaning she's from the tribe of kohen. It sounds like from Rashi, that even if we were talking about Truma, right? Let's bring this discussion up one level. Meaning, let's not talk about Matanos, let's talk about Truma. In theory, you could give it also to a Bas Kohen who's married to Yisrael. The problem there is that, right, she's got a husband, she's going to sit down with her husband, and her husband may end up eating the Truma. Meaning, I guess we'll call it Gzera de Rabbanan, right? A rabbinic decree. That you can, in theory, give her the truma, but her husband may end up eating it. So the rabbi said, you know what, don't give it to a Bas Kohen married to Yisrael. That's what it sounds like from Rashi. Is that correct? I'm not sure. And it's a theoretical discussion, because practically speaking, you don't give the truma to her. But just from this Rashi, that sounds like how the principle works in terms of why you don't give a Bas Kohen who is married to Yisrael, why you don't give a truma. But the Gemara quotes now in the name of Ula, you don't give them truma, but you can give them matanos. That would be fine. Havayav menchas l'kunasa. Eitzve rava l'ula. So rava challenges Ula. Minchas kohenes ne'echalos. Minchas kohen einu ne'echalos. So the great challenge. Because this brisa says that if a daughter of a kohen brings a carbon mincha, so you can eat that. Now everyone knows the rules. A mincha offered by a kohen, you're prohibited to eat. Right?
But another kohen.
No. Minchas Kohen kulo taktar. It's totally burnt on the Mizbeach. Nobody eats it.
No, I'm saying for a daughter of a Kohen.
Daughter of a Kohen brings a mincha, so somebody else eats it.
Another Kohen
eats it.
Why?
Because you're allowed to. No, the point is you're allowed to. Somebody else is allowed to eat it. So, but what you see over here is that, she's on the same category as a Kohen. Had she been in the same category as a Kohen, her mincha would be prohibited to eat. What a great challenge. Via Mar Kohen Vafilu Kohen is Vaksiv, Achal Minchas Kohen Kalil Tiyah, Lo Seyachel. The Torah says very clearly that the Mincha of a Kohen may not be eaten. And meanwhile, if a Bas Kohen brings a Mincha, it's allowed to be eaten. Amr Lei, Rebbe, so he says to him, Rebbe, this is Ula talking back to Rava, Mitunecha, meaning you brought the question and you know you also brought the answer as well. Right, I don't know if you realize this, but in your question is also the answer. Aaron uvanov ksuvim beparsha, Because when you read the Parsha of Mincha, the Parsha Mincha opens up with the words Aaron Uvanav. Yeah, that Mincha is the exception. Meaning in general we'll say that Kohen includes both male and female. In the world of Mincha, because the Torah opens up with Aaron Uvanav, so Mincha is limited to male, not to female. The Bay Rabbi Yishmael Tana Kohen Velo Kohenes. The Academy of Rabbi Yishmael says no. Whenever there's a requirement of Kohen, it means male, not female. According to Tana Bay Rabbi Yishmael, you cannot give the Matanas to a Kohenes, to a Bas Kohen. The Bay Rabbi Elazar bar Yaakov Tana Kohen Vafilo Kohenes have a miot achamir vein miot achamir el rabos. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov agrees with Ula, although I don't think that's historically accurate, meaning Ula is an Amora, and the Bay Rabbi Eliezer is a Tana. So really should say it the other way around, but whatever the case is, there's agreement over there that you can give it to Kohenes, and he has a different methodology in terms of how we arrived at that conclusion. Miut achar miut, one exclusion after another exclusion. Rashi explains, in the beginning of the pasuk it says, Zeh yeh mishpat ha-kohanim. Kohanim means male kohanim, Rashi writes. Demashma, Rashi, by the way, is right alongside where we are in the Gemara, just two lines below. Demashma kohanim velo kohanos. Uksiv b'sefer dekrav, nasan la kohen hazroa. And then it repeats itself. You give it to the kohen. Demashma nami kohen lemeute kohenes. That's your second miut. You know how this works. Two negatives equal a positive. Two miutim equal a ribui. So we're coming to include even a female kohen. Well, you're correct. We're going the other direction. We're talking about where she's a Kohen and he's not. Rav Kahana achal b'shvil ishto. Rav Kahana ate b'shvil ishto. Rashi. Rav Kahana was a Yisroel. I know it's a funny name for a Yisroel, right? I mean, in other words, if you're gonna name your son, you know, Kohen or Kahana, it's a little bit interesting that he's not a Kohen. He was a Yisroel. His wife was a Kohen. And he ate on account of his wife, meaning, my wife is a Kohenus, thank you very much, I'll take the Matanos. Rav Papa achal b'shvil ishto, Rav Yemer achal b'shvil ishto, Rav Idi bar Avan achal b'shvil ishto. Many different Amoraim ate on account of their wife, meaning they married a Bas Kohen, and so they went over to the butcher and they said, hi, I'm married to a Bas Kohen. Okay, let me have the Matanos. Am Ravina Amar Le Meremer, Yuchza Kavase Derav. So now, more Psak Halacha. Remember, there are now three big topics that we're discussing, right throughout the 10th parak of Chulin. The first topic was the eating the matanos. The second topic was what category the levi should be under. And now our third big topic is an Ashes, not Ashes Cohen, Bas Cohen, the daughter of a Cohen. So now, Hilchas HaKavaseh DeRav, the halachas like Rav, meaning that levi does not have to give matanos. Hilchas HaKavaseh DeRav Chista, the halacha falls like Rav Chista. That's the first discussion that we had. Excuse me. That if you eat the matanos, you, the non-Kohen, you don't have to make reimbursement. And Hilchas HaKavaseh De'ula, and the halacha falls like Ula, in that you fulfill your mitzvah of giving the matanos, even to a Bas Kohen, even when she's married to Yisrael.
Could she act as a shliach on behalf of her father? Bas Kohen. Could she?
On her behalf of her father. Well, the Gemara says on behalf of her husband she can.
But
what about on behalf of her father? I guess. Yeah. It would seem that way. And then the Gemara throws in a fourth. It's like a bonus. Right? We get an extra. And the halacha falls like, Ravada Brava, Levia Shialda Bina, Pater Mechamish Laim. This is a Bechoris discussion. We know there's a mitzvah of Pidgin Aben. We all know that El Kohen who has a child does not have a requirement to pigeon a ben. There's no redemption. He's a Kohen. Child's a Kohen. If a Levi has a child, same story. Pigeon a ben is only for Yisrael, not for a Levi. What if he's a Yisrael, meaning husband to Yisrael, and she's a Levia? She's a Bas Levi. So we're going to see in the beginning of Becharos. Yep, right in the beginning of the Becharos, one of the first sugyas. That's up. That's open for discussion, open for debate. Here, the Gemara and Chulin, I don't know how this is related, and this is kind of just was thrown in as a bonus psak, but here it says that the halacha is that a bas levi, even though her husband's Yisrael, does not have a mitzvah pidgin aben. There's no requirement of redemption.
Bad coin for sure.
Bad coin for sure. Bad Levi also. Tana Rabbanan. We learned in a Raisa. Azolachem vekeven ohagim a climb of a kvi. Rabbi Lazar my climb a bam in eiz v'minarecho chayv b'matanos. Right.
So they were extra Levi, they were extra Israeli. They didn't have enough Levi for.
Right.
So that's why they didn't pay the Rabban. So why would a son of a bad coin?
Oh, so I'll tell you what. It's a good question. Just it's not our discussion for today. I'll talk afterwards. We'll talk more about it. Tanu Rabbanan Zor L'Chaim VeKevin Ogus BeKlaim VeKvi Rabbi Lazar Omer Klaim HaBamin HaEizam In Arachol Chayav BeMatanos Min Ha. Okay, an oldie but goodie. Okay, this is a discussion that we had in the fifth parak of Chulin. We had it in the sixth parak of Chulin. And now let's add one more, the tenth parak of Chulin. And that is, what about your crossbreeds? Now, you're not allowed to cross, and we all understand that. Okay, good. Now, what if you do? So, is there a requirement of matanos? So, first of all, just to start the discussion off, understand that the mitzvah of matanos is only for domesticated animals, not for non-domesticated animals. Good. Now that we've established that, what if it's a cross between a domesticated and non-domesticated? So the Gemara brings down, it's a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara says, let's think about this for a moment. Mechdi. Kaimelan dilin kiswaya matanos lamishkacha lay elabitzviya bala taisha. Look, the case would be where dad was a deer and mom was a goat. Fine. So in other words, you have a cross. So Bein L'Rabbi Elazar, Bein L'Rabbanan Masafkali, Choshen L'Zer Avi, Ein Choshen. Now, does dad inject his DNA into the animal? Now, I know biologically the answer would be yes, but halachically, do we regard dad's input as significant halachically? So Choshen, meaning Choshen. I explained this last time. Usually the word means concerned, but here it means he does inject. And the Gemara says, Misafkale. We don't know. We're not 100% sure. Meaning maybe yes, maybe no. And if you remember back to the fifth pack and sixth pack of Chulin, what's the issue? The issue is the following. In order to have the mitzvah of Oso Vesbeno, in order to be exempt from the mitzvah of Kisui Adam, the question was, what if you're not a purebred? What if you're not 100% behema? What if you're only 50% behema? Sev afilu mixa se. The Tanakhama says, even if you are part se, that's enough. That's enough. And Rabbi Eliezer says, no, you have to be a purebred. That was the discussion, as we explained back in the fifth and sixth parak of Chulin. So now the Gemara says, so let's discuss it now in the context of matanos. Bishlam Rabbi Elazar tepata kaseva seva lo mixaseh. Look, Rabbi Eliezer, I understand that. That's easy. Because he operates with the argument of you have to be purebred. And here, this animal's not. So there's no requirement of matanos. That I get. Here's what I don't understand. Lira bananihin amitika savi seva afi lo mixaseh. Pagalishko. According to the Chachamim, they say you don't have to be a purebred, you could even be a cross. And you would still be considered part sheep. But still, now we go to this animal, the child, the product of this crossing. And this child now is a half-breed. Half of it is behema, and the other half is chaya. So now, the Kohen comes over to you and says to you, give me my matanos. And I say to him, look, 50% of this animal for sure is a set. Okay. And so I grant you, I'm going to give you 50% of your matanos. But I'm not going to give you the other 50% because remember, I'm not sure if dad inputs or if dad does not input. Halachically, that is. And so you know the rule. I'm mosi mechaver ala varaya. You want to now come and take the other half of the matanos away from me? You need to bring absolute proof that it's entitled to you. Because now it becomes a monetary issue. And you don't have enough proof to take the other 50% away from me. Amar Rav Huna, Marchia, my chayav nami tika, amar chayav b'chatzim atanos. So Rav Huna says, the question is so good, it turns into the answer. Correct. When the Kohen comes over to you and asks you for the matanos of your half-breed, so you only need to give him half matanos. Meitha Rabbi Zera, koi yesh lo derachim she, shavala behema v'yesh derachim, shavala chayo, your koi, your ultimate half-breed. V'yesh bo derachim shavala chayo, behema ketzad, chelbo aser. You're not allowed to eat the chelav of a koi. Ke chelav behema, just like the chelav of a behema. V'damo chayav l'chasos, you have to cover the blood. Kedama chaya. Drakim shavin lebehema lechaya. Now, good. So in certain ways it behaves like a behema. In certain ways it behaves like a chaya. Shedama vegido asurim kebehema vechaya. What about the blood? That way it'll behave like both. Just like the blood of a chaya is asur, just like the blood of a behema is asur, so too the blood of a koi is asur. And the same thing is true regarding the gidonash as well. Vechay bezor lechayim vekeva. Rav Elazar poter. Now you're obligated to give matanos from this animal when you shecht it to the Kohen. And Rabbi Elazar says, no, you don't, because Rabbi Elazar Lashitaso says that a half-breed is not obligated.
Is a koi a half-breed? Or
remember, we had the debate earlier what exactly it is. It's a beria b'fnei atzmo. It's a cross. Okay. The imisa chai b'chatzim matanos mi'bayalei. So the Gemara says, now if you're right, because remember, your answer was, they need to give half the matanos. Why doesn't the Brisa say half matanos? So the Gemara says stylistic reasons. I did the tani chabav adamo de la masi chatzi chatzi mishum lo tani chatzi. Because since in the beginning of the Brisa we couldn't use terminology of chatzi chatzi, so therefore the end of the Brisa as well. Meaning it's for stylistic reasons. Ki also Rav and Amar Rav Yochanan koil la Rabban Chai bekula matanos. You're obligated to give all the matanos. This goes against what we concluded earlier. The Tanya Shur Matamalam Imshur, La Rabba says a claim. Se Matamalam Imse, La Rabba says a koi. According to this Brisa, there's a rebu. You have to give all the matanos of a koi. Rabbi Lazar, hi, Im Lamali. Now Rabbi Lazar, who totally disagrees, what does he do with the word Im? Mibaile Lechalek, he divides the pasuk, meaning the Torah describes two animals, Shur and Se. I might have thought that the requirement of matanos is only when I shech both animals. The Im comes to divide the two. V'rabbanu l'chalak menalu nafkalu me'eis zovchei ha-zevach. Zevach in the singular. V'rabbi Lazar hai me'eis zovchei zevach ma'yavid le'mi bai le'lecha d'ravad amarava hadin im atabach. He says zovchei ha-zevach is coming to tell us that the primary responsibility of giving matanos is on the butcher, not necessarily the owner of the animal. We'll discuss more of that in just a moment. Good. End of that discussion. And not only end of that discussion, a lot of very good conclusions of the Gemara. So, on the topic, there are really four topics were discussed from the beginning of the parak. Each one of them has a very strong conclusion. On the topic of Rav Chista, whether or not you eat matanos, you and the non-Kohen eat matanos or damage matanos, and damage meaning destroy the matanos, you shouldn't, obviously, you don't need to reimburse the Kohen. Okay, that's number one. The next topic is the topic of Rav. Where does Levi fit in all this? Does he need to give matanos? Can he receive matanos? So Rav says, in the middle. He cannot receive matanos because he's not a Kohen. On the other hand, he doesn't need to give matanos. Why? Because Rav doesn't know whether Levi is in the category of Am or he's not in the category of Am in this particular context of matnos. Azor l'chai v'keva. Next topic of discussion was the discussion of a Kohenis. Can I give my matanos to a Bas Kohen, even if she's married to Yisrael? So on that, Ula said, yes, you can. The Gemara told us that numerous Amoraim did. Right, Rav Papa, Rav Kahana, and a whole series of Amoraim did accept the matanos on behalf of the fact that they were married to a Bas Kohen. And the conclusion is you can. And finally, what if you have a crossbreed? So the Gemara's conclusion seems to be you give half matanos. Okay. Next Mishnah, we move on. Bechor shenisarev b'meya. Now we know that if you have a Bechor, first of all, I mean, that's our next Masechta. The Bechor is a firstborn animal, has Kedusha. Kedusha also meirechem from the moment that's born, it has Kedusha, and it belongs to the Kohen. Bechor is property of the Kohen. You have to give it to a Kohen. And we also know that by the Bechor, there's no requirement to give off matanos. Right, because it's already holy, it's already sanctified. So you don't need to give off matanos. The Mishnah over here deals with a bizarre scenario where I have a bechor get mixed up with 100 other animals. And the Mishnah says, "Bizman shemeh shochtin es kulam, pochin es kulam." If let's say 100 different people shechted these 100 different animals, and I don't know which one's the bechor anymore, so Cohen comes over to me and says to me, "Where's my matanos?" I say to him, "Look, I'm sorry. I'm not giving you matanos. Because this was part of a mixture. One of these animals was a bechor. You know I don't have to give matanos on that. So, and it's a suffek. So what could I tell you? I'm not going to give you matanos." A number of basic questions that you can ask on this Mishnah. So many basic questions. We'll deal with what I would call the most basic question, which is, think about your argument for just a moment. What are you saying to the Kohen? You know, I'm not going to give you the matanos because this animal may be a bechor. So the Kohen's just going to look at you and just say to you, well, that doesn't sound that intelligent. In other words, if you're arguing it's a bechor, so instead of not giving me the matanos, why don't you just give me the whole animal?
Right.
Now the Gemara is going to ask this question because it's such a basic question. Like, how do you understand this Mishnah? So stay tuned as we go through this. Echad ha-shochet is kulam pochin lo echad. Look, one person shechting all 100 animals, he only gets an exemption from one of his animals. He may not know which one it is, but he only has to give 99 sets of matanos, not 100. Okay. Again, Again, we'll go back to that same question that I asked previously. Stay tuned, because the Gemara is going to ask it such a basic question. Again, this is mamonos. This is mamonos. This is not iser. So by mamonos, the operative rule is hamotzi mechaveru. Hashoche lekoinu laove kochavim pata minamatanos. Now, you shecht for either a coin or for a non-Jew, so you're going to be exempt from matanos. Good. As we discussed earlier, because a Kohen does not have a requirement to matanos, and a non-Jew simply doesn't have the mitzvah. Good. Hamishtatef imahem. What if you make a partnership? So in other words, so you set up now a corporation. Let's not get so fancy. Right? You buy, together with either a non-Jew or a Kohen, an animal. And so now you're partnered with the non-Jew or the Kohen over this animal. So now you're going to be exempt from having to give matanos, even though you're 50% shareholder of this animal. So, sarich chiyirsham. So what you do, make a little rishima, make a little note or a sign, some marking on the animal to indicate that this animal was purchased in partnership between Jew and Kohen, and so therefore you're exempt from matanos. Now, v'imamar chutz min matanos, pata min matanos. And if you said, chutz min matanos, right? In other words, the Kohen says to the Yisrael, I'll sell you the animal, but I'm not selling you the matanos. So then pata min matanos, so then there's no requirement to give matanos because the matanos now belong to the Kohen. Okay. Let's pause at this point in the Mishnah. We're right in the middle of the Mishnah. And let's pause here and let's think about the following. I'm just going to now go over Tosfos' question and I will try to explain Tosfos' answer. The question is brilliant. Tosfos says, you see what we just established in our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says that if I have an animal that is shared by a Kohen and a Yisrael, so you're exempt from matanos. Okay? Can we remember what we learned about 20 minutes ago in the Daf? Where we said that if you have a crossed animal, an animal that's a composite of a seh and a chaya, a behemah nechaya, so you need to give the Kohen what? Chatzi matanos. So we're so open to the idea of dividing the matanos in half because the animal is a composite of behemah nechaya. So Tosfos says, so I'm so unclear about what just happened in our Mishnah. Because in our Mishnah, we have now an animal that's 50-50, 50% owned by a Kohen, 50% owned by Yisrael, and the Mishnah says categorically it's Pater. You're exempt from Matanos. Why don't you say, take the Matanos and divide them in half? 20 minutes ago, we were ready to divide the Matanos in half.
But you don't know which 50 is whose. That's the whole thing with the
So, but you can make that same argument previously.
Remember, we had two partners that had a courtyard, and they swore not to use each other properly, and how could they use it?
In a vacuum, I would accept your answer. But 20 minutes ago, 20 lines ago in the Gemara did not suggest that. The Gemara said, when it's a hybrid, So you're going to take
that's different than a partnership.
Yeah. So I that's a, look. That you know we're going in that.
Use a brera for partnership and say this wasn't his and that wasn't his.
Right. You know we're going into the direction of that's different. But what I'm asking is, and again, I'm just repeating what Tosfos is going to talk about over here. How is it different? Why is it different? Look, it's good. It's a good question. I'll share with you Tosfos' answer. I do not claim that I fully understand Tosfos' answer, but I'll share it. So Tosfos says, if you want to see inside the Yesh Lamar, it's the second to last Tosfos on the page. And the answer is the last three lines of the Tosfos, starting with the words V'yesh Lamar. Da'hasam kosayo shebo mechayev. In the previous case of the Gemara, where the animal was a crossbreed, and 50% of it was a seh. So what are you giving? You're giving all of the 50%. Meaning all of its seh, which is 50% of it, is obligated matanas, and you're giving that. Kosayos shebo mechayev. V'hacha lo mechayev kosayos shebo lakach patra legamre. But here the entire animal is a seh, but 50% of it is owned by Jew. I'm sorry, by Cohen, and 50% of it is owned by Jew. So in other words, not all of its seh is obligated matanos. So once there's a deficiency in the seh, so therefore you're going to be exempt from matanos. If I could put it in other ways, now I'm just going to repackage Tosfos' answer. I don't think I'm providing any better understanding. In other words, there's a difference of 50% of 100 or 100% of 50. Previously, in other words, 50% of the animal was seh, you were giving 100% of its matanos, which obviously represent only 50%. Here, 100% of it is seh, and you're only obligated to give 50% of that? No. Again, I don't fully understand the answer. The question is outstanding. And just, I need more time to reflect. Let's go back to the Mishnah. Let's go on in the Mishnah. Amr mechorli b'nei me'er shal para. Butcher, right? A guy walks into the butcher and says, "I want the insides. All right, I love it. I love the intestines. I love the stomachs. Just give me all the insides." And the butcher says, "Yeah." They agree to a price, and then the guy walks out, and it turns out that the fourth stomach is right there. So now that he's not entitled to the fourth stomach, that needs to go to a Kohen. So the Mishnah says, so you got to do the right thing. The right thing is take the fourth stomach, the keva, and give it to a Kohen. How about going back to the butcher, asking him for a refund? So the Mishnah says no. Ve'eino menakalo min adamim. And the reason is very simple. Because there wasn't sold by weight. In other words, the agreement was sell me the insides, and he sold the inside. Both parties understood that the keva was not for sale. Okay, the butcher made a mistake. He didn't take the keva out, but even at that point in time, there was a total understanding. I don't have the right to sell you the keva. It's not mine. It belongs to the Kohen. It's not yours to buy. So you just simply take out the keva and you give it to a Kohen. However, lachan hemena b'mishka. But if it was sold per pound, nosin l'kohen, menakalom and adamim. So there, now, the buyer's got a very good case. Open and shut case. He'll give the keva to the Kohen, do the right thing. And now he'll go back to the butcher and say, wait a second, I bought 5 pounds of meat, but 1 pound of it was keva, and I gave it to the Kohen. So now you give me back a pound of money? Pounds worth. V'yama yavo ala kohen mishnei tzadim v'leima lei b'chor hu kula didi hu. V'ila b'chor havli matanasai. The Gemara opens up with the obvious question on our Mishnah. The first case of the Mishnah was there was one b'chor animal mixed in with the 99 other animals. And the Mishnah says that you can go say to the Kohen, sorry, I'm not giving the matanos. You know, one of them may be a b'chor. And the Gemara says, so if that's your argument, so the Kohen's going to say to you, okay, so just give me the whole animal. I'm okay with that. So Amar Avoshia bevali de Kohen, umachro l'Yisrael bimumo. So the Gemara gives an answer. I mean, you really have to say something. The Gemara gives an answer, and the answer is, the case of our Mishnah is, this particular Bechor was already given to the Kohen, this particular Bechor had a blemish, so now the Kohen doesn't have to bring it as a carbon, and the Kohen then turned around and sold it to a Yisroel, so now basically got rid of the whole Bechor issue.
And totally
and it's still Pater from the Matanos, then you're going to add to that also that because it was has kedushas b'chor. The residual kedusha, and then you're. Right, and you're going to add to that one other point, which is that the 99 other animals they got mixed up with also had mumim, all of them. Because if not, it'd be very easily to indicate which one was the b'chor, which one's not the b'chor. That's not my point. Again, I go back to Tosfos makes that point on the umbrella. Okay, let's go on to the Gemara. Shochel ha'kon la'ovi kocham patur min ha'matanos. V'lisnei kon va'ovi kocham patur min ha'matanos. Why doesn't the Mishnah just simply say that an animal of a Kohen and the animal of a non-Jew is exempt from matanos? Meaning, it's the same information, but why does it say hashochet lekohen? Why does the Mishnah use that language? Because the Mishnah is coming to teach us a point. We heard this already in the Amud Aleph, but now we're hearing it again. This is a prime location, which is that the primary responsibility of giving matanos is on the butcher. Meaning when he shechs the animal, obviously he's the one that's going to be cutting the animal open. He's going to be the one handling the animal first. It's his responsibility. And you don't have to ask permission from the owner of the animal. It's the butcher's responsibility. I say butcher, I really mean shochet. Right? Nowadays they're not the same person. It's the shochet's responsibility to take off the zolachai and the keva and give it to the kohen. Din imatavach. Darash Rava. Even a tavach kohen, meaning, even if the shochet happens to be a kohen, it's not his animal. He happens to be a kohen. He needs to give. He needs to give the matanos. The exemption is, huh?
He can't just give it to himself.
I know. In fact, not only is your thought process a good thought process, I'm going to respectfully disagree. It's a good thought process. You're going to see you're in good company. The innkeeper of Rabbi Tavla was a Kohen. Now, even though he owned an inn, but not every innkeeper is, you know, doing well financially, and he's not. He's not doing well. Also coming to Rabbi Tavla. Now he goes to Rabbi Tavla, Amar Lei, and he goes for advice. He goes to Eitza, and Rabbi Tavla gives him the following piece of advice. Zil ishtatev b'havdei tavchei yisrael demigu demifterei mimatnasa mishtadfei b'hadach. Go into the shochet business. Okay? And you're a Kohen. So you need a partner. It's going to be so easy for you to find a partner. Because any Yisrael is going to want to be a partner with you because then they're not going to have to give matanos. It's not a great thought process because remember he's just a shochet. He's not the owner of the animals, okay. But Rabbi Tavla thought like you, meaning you'd be potter.
You're valuable.
You're right. You're a valuable partner. Chayve Rav Nachman. Now I love when Rav Nachman comes into these stories. It makes every story in the Gemara even that much better. So Rav Nachman. Now the case came in front of Rav Nachman. Apparently there was another Kohen in the community who said, "I don't know what's going on. This partnership over here they're not giving away the matanos, right?" And Rav Nachman says, "You know what? You're right." Rav Nachman went to this new form partnership and said, "You're not giving matanos. You need to give matanos, right? I know you're a kohen, but you don't own the animal. You're just shechting the animal. You need to give matanos." So Chayver Rav Nachman, Amar Lei. So the poor innkeeper, talk about bad mazel. The poor innkeeper says, "Wait a second. It wasn't even my idea. I was told by Rabbi Tavla that this would work. So you know what you're doing, Rav Nachman? You're arguing with Rabbi Tavla." Now, Rav Nachman says, "Okay, I'm arguing with Rav Tavla. That's fine." Rabbi Tavla, Patron Amalei Zil Apik. He says, you better get it out of your hands. In the Matanus, that is. V'ilo mafkin lecha Rav Tavla mi'unech. And if you don't, I'm going to take Rav Tavla out of your ears. Now, what exactly that threat was, I'm not 100% sure. It sounds strong. It sounds really strong. It's Rav Nachman. That's Azar Rabbi Tavla. Rabbi Tavla, coming to Rav Nachman. So now Rav Tavla goes into Rav Nachman, and Rav Tavla says to Rav Nachman, my friend, what are you doing? I gave the innkeeper advice. What are you doing? Amalei, my time up in Marhachi. Amalei, dichias Rav Yachar bar Chanina midrama. Amar Rav Yishua ben Levi zikne damar amru koin tavach shtein v'shal shabbosos patam and amatanos mikan ve'elachayev b'matanos. If you have a coin who's a tavach, who's a shochet, so for the first week or even the first 2 or 3 weeks, he can keep his own matanos. After that, he can't. It's a funny halacha. The first 2 or 3 weeks, he can keep his own matanos. So Rabbi Tavla begs Rav Nachman, look, at least give my guy, my innkeeper, at least give him 2 or 3 weeks, as this halacha indicates. So the Gemara says, no, Amrlei hanimila delokava maschata. Avahacha hakava maschata. So Rav Nachman says, you don't even understand that halacha. Meaning, why are you giving him 2 or 3 weeks? Because people don't know that he's a butcher. Meaning people think he's just shechting animals. Maybe they're his own animals. After 2 weeks where he shechts an animal, he sells it. He shechts an animal, he sells it. People understand, oh, he's a butcher. He's a shochet. He's not the owner of these animals. And so after 2 or 3 weeks, now he has to give away the matanos. Here, they opened up shop. Meaning the moment they formed a partnership. Right? Cohen Brothers... Right, deli. Meaning people know right from the get-go that he is selling the animals. He's just a tabach. He's a butcher. He's not the one owning the animals. He's got to give them matanos right away. End of that story. Rabbi Tavla is refuted. Rav Nachman is correct. You got to give the matanos even if you're a Kohen Toveach. I'm Rav Chista, a little bit more for today. I'm Rav Chista, I kind of de la mafresh matanos ala have a bishamta de la Yisrael. You don't give matanos. Cohen, by the way, here, Cohen meaning Cohen butcher. You don't give matanos, so you're putting cherem. Okay, right? In other words, you're not doing a mitzvah. You're not complying. You're not doing a mitzvah. So, Amar, Rav Merav Shila, Hani Tavche, Duhutzel, Kaim, Abisham, Tadarev, Chista, Ha Esrim, Tachin, Shnin. Butchers in Hutzel were a little bit stubborn. They were in cherem for 22 years. I don't know.
Their customer base were getting a discount.
Yeah, I guess. 22 years. Correct. Correct. It's difficult to understand how come it's...
The coin cannot give to himself
or to his son. No. Now, what's the significance of 22 years? Meaning, that's it? Is there a statute of limitations on cheirim? Meaning 22 years and no more than 22 years. Va'atanya b'med v'amamor b'mitzvah slo saseh. Ava b'mitzvah saseh kagon. Omrim lo. Let's say the Beis Din of the community says to him, I say sukkah. I need you to make a sukkah. You know what sukkah is. I need you to make a sukkah. V'eino osa. And the guy says, no, I don't want to. I say lulav. Go get a lulav. V'eino osa. I say tzitzis. Go put on tzitzis. V'eino osa. Makin osa ashetetze nafsho. So it's a very simple solution. You just keep hitting him. So in other words, and Gemara is now just making a simple extension over here. If you can do that, you can put him in cherem for more than 22 years, meaning there can't be statute of limitations. Ela de kansinan lehu balo asraisa. After 22 years, you can penalize. You don't have to give warning. After 22 years, if he's not getting the point... So ki had Rav Kanis Atma Rav Nachman Yitzchak Kanis Galima. Okay, Rav Nachman, I'm sorry, Rava would just take away pieces of the animal from him without warning, and Rav Nachman Yitzchak penalized him by taking away his coat. Okay, and with no warning. Okay.
That's not literal.
Right. It's hard to right.
No, but you give them.
Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. Okay, good place to stop.